In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, we read, "Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." What is the writer talking about there? A cord snapping, a golden bowl breaking, a pitcher getting shattered at the fountain, a wheel is broken by the cistern. What a mess. Is this a passage about tearing things up? Some kind of spiritual demolition derby? Well, actually, it's about time. It is about the subject of time. Or more especially, the fact that time is going to come to an end, and there are some things that need to be done before our time, our own time on this earth is over. All of those things that the wise man names in that passage are really illustrations, in a way, of time, or more specifically, our lives, and about time running out and our lives coming to an end. Now, time is something that every single human being deals with, like it or not. I don't have a whole lot of experience with alligators or killer whales. I've never really had to deal with volcanoes, tsunamis, tidal waves. And so, you know, I'm not really all that up on those kind of things, and I'm probably not going to be able to carry on a very lengthy, in-depth discussion of that kind of stuff because I don't deal with it. It's not something that's a part of my everyday life. But if you're living, you have to deal with time. Every single one of us, whether we like it or not, are experts on the subject of time, even if by default we've all had to deal with time all of our lives. There's another passage that perhaps is even more clear about the responsibility of dealing with time. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. There the Apostle Paul says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil." Now, in view of these passages, for the next few minutes, I would invite you to consider with me some very simple yet very important realities about time. Number one, to everyone, in one way or another, time is very, very valuable. It was Benjamin Franklin who said, and then countless people since him have said the same thing, quote, "Time is the most important thing in the world." Now, I'm not here tonight to argue the validity or the truthfulness of that statement, but I offer it to you just simply to remind all of us that to everybody, time is very, very valuable. Now, that's interesting because normally the value of something is largely determined by its supply and demand. In other words, if there's only a little bit of something on this earth, then it's going to be very valuable as long as somebody wants it. If nobody wanted it, I don't guess how little of it there were. It wouldn't be worth much. But if it's in demand and if the supply is very small, then usually the value of it is very, very high. And the folks who possess the most of it can usually set the value of it. But here's the paradox of time. The quantity of time for each individual on this earth is actually an unknown number. When you're born, you don't know if you have 2 years or 100 years to live. And anywhere along the progression of your life, you don't know how much time you've got left. And so you don't know if your life is going to be a life of 70 years or if it's going to be 90 years or if you'll be gone at 30. Unless you've already gotten past there, and that's a pretty good indicator that you had more than 30. On the one hand, we always claim that time is in short supply and great demand. And we say things like, I don't have time for this. In other words, this is wasting my time. I've got other things more important to do than this. I don't have enough time to spend on something so foolish as whatever. But then at the same time, on the other hand, we are famous for taking time for granted, for acting as though there is no limitation upon our time at all. This is one of the clear ways that the Christian can be distinguished from the non-Christian. The use of his time. In Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12, we find a passage that's usually attributed to Moses. And here's what it says. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? That's speaking to God. Your wrath according to the fear of you. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now clearly this passage is speaking to the importance of using our time properly so that we can maintain the right relationship with God. Time is very valuable. But here's the essence of its real value. Its first use in our lives ought to be to God's glory. Thus, time is a very valuable tool whose greatest use is to serve God. Number two. Unlike a lot of commodities that we deal in and work with, time is not replaceable. There's no way to retrieve even 1 second when it's passed by. Now, that's not true of a lot of things. In fact, some real important things in our lives are the kind of things that can be brought back or reconstructed or tried again. But time is not that way. Even your character and reputation can be reconstructed. It'll be greatly difficult, but it takes a lot of time. But you can, if given enough time and opportunity, you can even rebuild a reputation and your character. Thanks to modern medicine, health, if it is lost, can often be restored. It can many times be brought back so that a person could live a normal life even after going through some kind of catastrophic illness. And so even our health, greatly important to us, can be brought back. Time cannot be restored. Friends can be lost, but friendships can be rebuilt if everybody is willing to work at it, and friends can be regained even after some terrible difficulties. But once time is gone, it's gone for good. It's interesting how we sometimes use figures of speech in talking about time, and actually, when you stop and think about some of these figures of speech, they're very laughable, just ridiculous. But we say them anyway, and everybody knows what we mean when we say things like, you know, if I can find the time, I'll do that. Finding time. Now, that's impossible. It's not as though it's gotten misplaced somewhere and you got to go out and dig through all the stuff and turn it up again. We talk about making time. Actually, I suppose that if somebody could figure out how to accomplish that, they could get rich in a hurry. Making time. It's just, you just can't do it. Saving time. It's just not possible. Though how we wish we could deposit a little extra, you know, a few days at a time or something like that, put it away in a vault so that later it could be withdrawn on some desperate occasion when we needed some more time. The unknown poet has left us this catchy little verse. Just a tiny little minute, 60 seconds in it, forced upon me. Can't refuse it. Didn't seek it, didn't choose it, but it's up to me to use it, and I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Time is not replaceable. Can't push the rewind button and bring it back and do it again, because it's gone forever. Number three, time is very elusive. We often make statements like, well, where did the time go? Or, I just wish I had more time. Or, my, how time has really flown. I'm going to tell you something. That's really odd, because these days we've got more time-saving devices than the world has ever known. But somehow we've got less time than ever. We've got more ways to save time and less time to save than at any other time in history. Think about this. 80, 90 years ago, a man would plow all day long with a team of mules, and if he had a good day, he could turn over 3, maybe 4 acres of what we used to call new ground. The woman would milk the cows by hand, feed the chickens, and gather the eggs. She made most of the clothing by hand and washed everything in a big tub, scrubbing them on a rub board, and then she would squeeze all the water out and hang them outside on the clothesline all day long to dry. Today, a man with just an average tractor can plow more than 50 acres a day. The woman no longer milks the cow, but she goes down to the grocery store just a mile or two down the road or to the supercenter, you know, and she buys all the milk and the eggs and the butter and everything else that she needs. She's got a washing machine that washes the clothes, and then that marvelous dryer that she just throws everything into after it's washed, and that thing dries it all in the space of relatively few minutes. At our house, we've even got a machine that washes the dishes for us. I bet you do too. But the saddest part of this whole tale is that we claim we just don't have time. We've got less and less time. But we've got all of these labor-saving devices. What happens to our time? Well, that's a question that I'll leave each of us to answer individually. But it does lead us into our fourth and final reality about time. Most of us have more to do than time to do it. I don't know how you feel about country music. I've got some pretty strong, if narrow-minded, views of it, but I'll have to give some credit to Toby Keith, who came out with a song entitled My List. And one verse of that song, or maybe the chorus, I don't know, goes like this. And it sounds like a little bit of my life. It says, under an old brass paperweight is my list of things to do today. Go to the bank and the hardware store. Put a new lock on the cellar door. I cross them off as I get them done, but when the sun is set, there's still more than a few things left that I haven't gotten to yet. I don't know about you, but that pretty well describes my typical day. I always try to start out every day with a plan, and a lot of times I'll have a list of things written down that I need to do, a list that I'll work from, and when I get those things done, I'll cross them off my list. But it seems like something on my list or in my plan every day always winds up undone. Didn't get to it. Didn't get that far. Or something else was more important, so I moved that one down the list. And in talking to other folks, I get the impression that's pretty well normal for most of us. Most of us have a lot more to do than we really get done in a typical day. There are two things that are very, very important at this point in view of that fact. Number one, we need to be very careful about whatever it is that's at the bottom of that list that gets bumped every day. I mean, it was important enough to make the list to begin with, but somehow it's always down there at the bottom, and we save it and save it and save it. Usually it's the pressing things that push and shove their way to the top of our list, and sometimes the truly important things are quietly pushed down to the bottom. What kind of things end up at the bottom of your list? If it's things like Bible study, prayer, family devotions, that's not good. The second thing, we must not be deceived by the myth of what I call FFT. FFT. It's not nearly as mysterious as it may sound. Future free time. Future free time. When you don't get to all those things on your list, you tell yourself, I'll get that done one day when I have more time. One of these days I'm going to be able to really get caught up on some things, and I'll save that one for that day. That's a myth. We're not going to have any more time someday in the future. Every one of our days has the same amount of time. And it won't get any easier. I remember Felix, who, after hearing the gospel, the Bible says he trembled. And one translation says he was terrified, obviously by what he had heard as Paul reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, he told Paul, go thy way, for this time. And when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me. You know, there's no record in Scripture that Felix ever found a more convenient time. And we sing a song about Felix and King Agrippa, who said, "Almost, Paul, you persuade me to be a Christian." The reality is that there never will come a time when we have all of this time on our hands to do those things that we've been putting off. It's been just in the last few days, and you may have seen it, and I can't remember where it is for the life of me, but I've seen a sign where people put these little slogans on the signs out in front of their business. And this one says, "You always have time to do those things that you make top priority." That's really true. If you make it top priority, you always have time for it. Don't be fooled by the myth of future free time. There's not any out there. The song that we're about to sing asks a vital question, and it's a question that every single one of us need to answer honestly for ourselves. The song says, "How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory, or shall we reap tears?" If you're subject to our Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing.